Members, we're going to start the state government finance meeting. We don't have a quorum quite yet, so we can't move the minutes, but there is some administrative things that I would like to point out to you. In your packet today is an updated spreadsheet for the areas that we cover. There were a couple items that were moved to us. In particular, I'm going to point out the revisor slash MPCA item. That's been moved to our budget, so that's reflected in this new spreadsheet. I'd ask that you put it in your books that you have, your committee books, so that you have it available for when we go through the numbers at a later time, and just for your own purposes, too. So if you don't want to put them in your committee books, at least put them in your save file so you have it for later, because this is the one and only copy that you will receive. With that, members, we do have a quorum now, and I think that Representative Anderson, would you like to move the minutes?
I would like to move the minutes, Madam Chair, for February 25th.
Representative Anderson moved the minutes for February 25th, 2015. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Those opposed? The minutes for February 25th, 2015 have been approved. Members, we have with us Chair Knobloch. He has House File 488. Representative Howe, you want to move that bill, please?
I would. It would be a pleasure to move House File 488, Madam Chair.
Okay. Representative Howe moves House File 488. Chair Knobloch, if you would like to describe your bill, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Howe. Members of the committee, House File 488 is the contract ratification bill for six contracts that had gone to arbitration last year and were not available to be voted on by the last legislature. Those six contracts are the law enforcement personnel contract, which contains a settlement for the state troopers, for the BCA, and for the conservation officers in the Department of Natural Resources. It contains the Minnesota Nurses Association contract, and then four MNSCU-related contracts, the IFO contract for faculty at state universities, the contract for faculty at community and technical colleges, the administrative faculty in terms of other or administrator contract in terms of other individuals that work at MNSCU that aren't professors or otherwise instructors, and then the administration or administrative faculty contract. The total settlement for the 2 years, and I understand that there was a hearing on this subject yesterday, so I don't want to go into it too exhaustively, but these contracts cover this biennium from July 1st, 2013 through June 30th, 2015. The total increase in these contracts biennium is about 6.4%. The cost in this biennium from these contracts is about $80 million. And with that, members, I think I'll stand for questions. The other larger contracts that the state has, AFSCME, MAPE, and so forth, were all ratified by the last legislature. And so these are the main remaining contracts that remain to be ratified.
Okay. Members, any questions? Representative Lunan.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. And Chair Knobloch, I come from a school board background where when we negotiated with our bargaining groups, and could you, as a freshman, I'm not familiar with the mechanics are, just bring us up to speed on who negotiates these contracts and how the timelines, because it seems like it's kind of flipped around backwards from a budget standpoint.
Representative Knobloch.
Madam Chair, Representative Lewin, and I maybe could have one of the other individuals come down and talk a little bit more in detail about that. You know, I would agree, Representative Lewin, that in some ways it seems a little bit backwards the way we do this, that this might be an area that's ripe for some reform. It does seem to be a little bit strange in a way that here we are 4 months before the contract ends and we're finally ratifying them and only now getting started on the next contract that would take effect July 1st. There is a legislative, I guess when I was here, previously was called the Legislative Commission on Employment Relations. Now I think it's called something else, State Employee Relations Committee or something like that. That's part of the LCC that has a couple of appointees from each of the caucuses that is more involved in the actual early ratification of these contracts. Typically, they are the first real involvement that the legislature has in approving the contracts. The executive branch with the governor are the ones that really direct the overall negotiation of them. Once those have been negotiated, this legislative committee or commission ratifies it, and once they actually get to the full ratification point, they come before the legislature like this. I don't know if that answers your question, Representative Lunan.
Representative Lunan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, it does. Thank you for that data. My final question would be, the timeline that we're in right now, to the best of your knowledge, is this an anomaly or is this typically how they all play out?
Chair Nava.
Well, Madam Chair, Representative Lunan, I'd say this is maybe a little bit of an anomaly in that it's as late as it is, but it's not a complete anomaly. I think these went to arbitration, so it took longer. If you look at the bill, you can see the date that each of the contracts was finally approved by the Legislative Coordinating Commission Subcommittee on Employee Relations. That's where I get the SCR acronym, Subcommittee on Employee Relations. So a lot of them were ratified in August of last year, or in some cases October. So those happened after the last legislature adjourned. Again, it's normal for the ratification process to take place well after the contract has actually started and the members of the various bargaining units have started to receive their increased pay.
Representative Lunan?
Thank you.
Okay. Members, any other questions? Representative Runbeck.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To the specific wage and benefit increases and so on, is that information something that you can share with us?
Oh, Madam Chair, Representative Runbeck, I certainly can. You know, it's rather complicated. First of all, there are six contracts here, and each of them are different. Some of them are more complicated than others. I think, for example, if I remember right, the law enforcement contract is fairly simple. I want to say it's maybe a 3%, 3%. If you get into the IFO contract, you've got various steps and lanes. You've got different settlements for people that are at different levels of seniority, adjunct faculty versus full professorships, for example. Let me ask if I can, do you have a specific contract you'd want more information on, or do you want me to maybe just generally go through each of them?
Representative Runbeck.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Knobloch, just wondering if, is it available online somewhere, details as to some of the final agreements?
Chair Knobloch.
Madam Chair, Representative Runbeck, I believe if you go to the Legislative Coordinating Commission website and go to the SCR part of it, to do with employee relations, that there's a link there that you can get to the detail on the contracts.
And Representative Runbeck, I looked at that this morning. I can send you the link so you have that available, and we'll make sure the entire committee gets a chance to look at that.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions? Mm-hmm. Members, any other questions? Okay. Before we move to move on this bill, just I think Representative Lunan highlighted a very important part, the point that I think that this is part of the reason that we've been having discussions about contracts, and that there is room for maybe changing the timing of it and also looking at how we can have make this a better process rather than doing it after the fact. So I think that would be helpful for us moving forward, and welcome any thoughts and ideas that you have on that. With that, Representative Howell renews his motion. We're going to send it to higher ed. And all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
I'm going to retract that. I forgot to ask for public testimony. Is there anybody in the audience that wishes? Let's resend our vote. Okay. Let's move to reconsider the vote. All those in favor to reconsider the vote, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. All those opposed? Thank you, members. Are there anybody in the public that wishes to testify on this bill? Okay. Seeing none, I'm going to go one more time. Representative Howe renews his motion to send this bill to higher ed. We're going to refer to higher ed. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Okay. You're done.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair and members.
Can I just, Madam Chair, ask a question? And maybe, I don't know if there's any answer to this. I find it frustrating that all the contracts come together with having, and I'm used to having management separated from employees kind of a deal, and I find it strange that that we have to vote on all the contracts all at one time. I guess that's kind of expedient, maybe, but I find that a little odd in my experience, and maybe you'd have to come with, I suppose, with an amendment to keep it, separate someone out. And I guess, and specifically what I'm talking about is when you're talking about university presidents and chancellors and those folks being in that same bill to be approved, I guess, along with the employees, just seems rather odd. And it's more of a comment. I just have never done it this way before. So,
thank you.
Thank you, Representative Howe.
Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And having worked in the past in public sector and having negotiated contracts for the public sector, sometimes they do get dragged out. I mean, like I said, these two cases here, the arbitration hearings that cause them to get dragged out longer, that's a longer process. And sometimes it's just that during the negotiation process, things, you know, the contract may expire May 1st, and you don't get it settled till, I know the worst year that I ever, when I was working in the public sector, we settled the contract end of March, we got our back pay the third week in April, the contract expired the first of May, and so you're right back at it all over again. Sometimes that's management's fault, sometimes that's the union's fault for the contracts, and sometimes it's just things don't come together. So I mean, it's not like in the private sector where it's a little easier sometimes, but even in there, the contract negotiations process sometimes gets dragged out. So I don't think this is that odd, but these, you know, with arbitration, like Representative Knobloch said, made these two an anomaly from what would normally happen.
Representative Lunin.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Then I have a question for Representative Nelson. Is this, with the timeline so backwards like this, is taking a look at if there's a better mechanics to this, because you've obviously got experience in it, do you think that would be worth spending some time on?
Representative Nelson.
Madam Chair, Representative Lunin, it's hard to say. It's, you know, it's part of the bargaining process, and if we start throwing, we start throwing monkey wrenches into it to try and tweak it to make it go better. I know the education, there's been a big argument about January 1 deadline that we used to have, that they had to, or then they, we would punish the school districts for not getting their contracts settled. And so, I mean, we've done that, and it doesn't always help to speed things along. And you're throwing a third party into a negotiation should be between two parties.
Representative Knobloch, as I understand it, the contracts are, they're assumed that they're in place, and so individuals are receiving their pay at the newly negotiated contract price rather than the old price and waiting for the legislature to approve. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, yes, it is. I mean, once an agreement is made so we know how much people are to be paid, they'll get their back pay from, you know, July 1st to whatever date the contract is settled, is I guess the way that I understand it. And then, so these individuals now that are covered by these contracts have now been getting paid at a higher rate for some time. And so it's not as if just now or shortly, assuming this bill passes the legislature in the near future, it's not as if they don't get any money until then. They are being paid already, their increase.
And I think that's kind of the timing issue that Representative Lumen is speaking to and that I have concerns with as well. So we should have some longer conversations about that. Members, any other questions at all? Representative Carlson.
Madam Chair, just a comment. When I was first in the legislature, we used to have what we called the meet and confer law. It was it predated PELRA, as we all know it now, but the point I wanted to make when we talk about timing was under the old meet and confer law, which truly wasn't collective bargaining as we understand it today, but the agreements were 1 year. And when we passed PELRA, then we went with 2 years, and the idea was to get away from where you were basically constantly negotiating when you would have a one-year agreement, and notice I didn't use the word contract because under the meet and confer, it was just a very different system, but that was part of it, 1 year. So that, I think, if you look back to that period of time, was, in my view, a great improvement going with a two-year agreement. And, yes, it, if you have a situation like we've experienced now where you're going to arbitration and it does get perhaps drawn out, but just think of what the problem would be if we were under one-year agreements.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. With that, thank you, Representative Knobloch. Appreciate you coming here today. Members, that is all that we have for today. Watch your calendars for next week's schedule. So with that, we are adjourned.
Thank you.